Welcome, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're not every women's. There's three of us this afternoon. Really pumped to be joined by my frequent co-host for this fine segment, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And Kristen and I are very happy to bring on with us candidate for the 3rd Congressional District looking to unseat the man who swore up and down he would never cut emergency food assistance for Wisconsinites, and then promptly did so last week, Representative Derek Van Orten. We're joined by 3rd Congressional District candidate Laura Benjamin. Welcome, Kristen. Welcome, Laura. How are you both?
So good. So happy to be with you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me rescheduling since my bout with COVID.
How are you feeling? Let's just start with that. I'm having a perimenopausal hot flash right now. How are you doing?
I'm doing a lot better now. Thanks.
Good.
Takes a little bit to recover from COVID. I totally forgot that was the case. And my 4-day timeline was optimistic, to say the least.
It still packs a wallop.
It does.
I have things to say about your hot flash and about COVID.
Please, Dr. Lyerly.
We need more access to menopausal therapies. And please, could we continue to vaccinate pregnant people and children against COVID?
My goodness.
Or maybe anyone that wants a vaccine instead of making it, putting all these barriers between people and their care.
It is just so disheartening. And frankly, it is both of these things are killing people. Not being able to be treated for your menopausal symptoms, that's a long, slow death. I don't have to tell you, Maggie. So many women have
been
there.
In it to win it.
I got you, girl. But I mean, COVID, and I know this is controversial, but the truth is that vaccines save lives. And COVID, if you get sick with COVID and you are pregnant, COVID is a blood vessel disease. Do you know what the placenta is made of?
Blood vessels.
If people get sick with COVID when they're pregnant, they are so much more likely to get much sicker, but also to end up on a ventilator, to end up in the ICU, and frankly, to end up dead. And that's just death. We're not talking about the long-term consequences like strokes and blood pressure problems and all of the stuff that stems from those problems. So please, please.
And
get
can
vaccinated.
I just point out, I think it's ridiculous that we live in a day and age where vaccines are controversial. We figured this out almost 100 years ago. Almost 100 years ago, we figured out that vaccines are the solution to these larger illnesses.
Hey, and they're not for everybody, but please make your own personal healthcare decisions with the help of a healthcare professional and science and data and evidence, not some crazy person like Robert F. Kennedy, who has said, don't get your
trust
medical
me.
Advice from
yes.
me.
No. I'm not the guy. Don't ask me. Ask your doctors. The other thing I'll just say, since we're talking about this, I want to talk about self-advocacy for a brief moment when it comes to medical care. And Laura, I don't know if you have any experiences with this, but I certainly do, including most recently in advocating for menopausal care. I was like, this, I cannot do this. I don't feel like myself. I need some care that is specifically focused on my symptoms and needs. It has happened before when I've tried to access birth control and been denied. This is many, many years ago. And because I've always been a bossy pants, was like, nope, I'm just going to go talk to somebody else until I find somebody that can help me. But I think as we're entering this fall vaccination cycle period, right, with back to school looming, I know we're just getting the kiddies out of school, but I think it's really important for people to understand if you're not in RFK's made up designated groups that might be able to get the COVID vaccine, advocate for yourself with your medical professional and say, this is why I think I need it. Dr. Lyerly, your thoughts, and then Laura, I'd like to turn to you.
Yeah, 100%. And for some crazy reason, access to things like, hormone therapy for menopause or birth control, somehow this is controversial. Somehow this is hard. We've got a bill right now in Wisconsin that would allow pharmacists to provide contraception. Do I love that? No. Do pharmacists want to do this? Probably not. But do we need to be able to get contraception? And we're losing access. If this budget bill passes federally, Planned Parenthood clinics all over the country are going to shut down.
Closed.
And that means that people who do not have access otherwise, which is a lot of young people, will have no path to get birth control and testing for sexually transmitted infections and cancer screening and fundamental health care. So whatever we can do to patch the system right now until we can fix it, I'm in. But this system is so fundamentally broken and it needs to be fixed.
I saw that list and of that RFK put out of like who could be eligible for this vaccine. And that, and again, it just made me think, well, like, what are we going to have to tell our providers that we have in order to be, you know, in order to have our providers say, yeah, okay, you can have that. So like, do I just have to say like I'm a former smoker now in order to get a vaccine? But it just seems like an extra hoop to jump through where how is this helping people to create these extra walls?
Hey, I want to mention, and Maggie, you said it, advocate for yourself. If you are listening right now and something is not going your way or your gut says, this is not the right thing for me, keep searching. Every doctor doesn't have every answer. Even if you're going to an OBGYN doctor and they've given you options and those options don't feel right, find a different doctor. A second opinion is always valuable. And I know that I'm not the best answer for every single person out there. I recommend looking for somebody else because you need to know that your doctor gets you and has your best interests in mind. So yes, please do advocate for yourself. Do your own research, but use a healthcare professional who is trained and accredited and can offer you data and science as you're making those decisions.
There's a theme here, ladies, that I wanted to suss out a wee bit. And that is time and time and time again, what I have seen from the MAGA regime and from a gentleman who currently represents the 3rd Congressional District in this state are blanket assertions that have, frankly, very little to zero data support. Or when that data is probed at all, when you look into it, it's extremely biased, there's a selective sample, or it's just based on random one-offs. So to me, what RFK is trying to do with DHHS and the vaccines, it's like, well, point to me the study that shows that something like COVID, that this will work just fine, that will have that fewer people will die under your approach. There's a reason he can't point to that, because it doesn't exist. So, Laura, I wanted to ask you just a theory of governing, which used to be talked about all the time. And I believe the Wisconsin Policy Forum still does this. The concept of data-driven policy decision making. And I have this deep sense that voters right now are very confused. Because in one breath, Derek Van Orten is saying, I'll never cut emergency food assistance and there are no cuts to any of these programs in this bill. That's a lie. And when people are confronted with like two polar opposite statements, I get how it's confusing. As a candidate, how do you propose to get through that noise and to help people see the truth? How do you propose to connect and help people find the good and accurate factual information and not distraction and rhetoric?
Yeah, let me try to unpack that question, because I think that one of the things that Derek Van Orten does and does very well is sort of manipulate the truth of what's being proposed in these bills, right? Because of course the Republican Party didn't come right out and say, we are slashing this, we're cutting X dollars out of the budget. What they did instead is that they said, well, we're going to change the eligibility requirements. We're going to make it so that now, instead of every 12 months to get, you know, reviewed for your Medicaid, you have to get reviewed every 6 months. Or instead of, you know, being 49 years old, now you have to be 64 years old for your SNAP benefits. And so the net result of that is essentially a program cut. And so we're taking the shorthand of that and saying, let's look at the result of what's happening and call it a cut, because we're going to call it what it is. But what he's going to do, and what I think the broader Republican Party likes to do, is sort of walk around the truth of the matter and say, well, black and white, there's no, we're not outright saying that there's a cut, even though that's what the result is going to be. And so I think, if I could take your question a step further,
please,
what do we do to restore trust and transparency in our government officials? And when I think about that, it's number one, like, where are our sources, right? Like, are we citing biased research, or are we citing neutral research that's done by nonpartisan groups? Are we citing, a single, one or two like sort of fringe people, or are we looking at the broad base of what a scientific consensus looks like? And again, when we're talking about an issue, are we talking about what's, black and white written on the page, or are we reading between the lines and actually seeing what the impact is going to be?
I just wanted to mention, when it comes to these cuts that are cuts, there are the words, there's the propaganda, but when your future constituents are experiencing the consequences, they will feel like cuts and they will be hurting. How do you, in this environment, as you're campaigning, as you're talking to people who are used to Derek Van Orden, who is a very angry man, how do you get this message across to them that this is what he's saying, but this is what's going to happen, and I care, and I want to help? And I know you're not used to that, but I want to help.
And this
is one of the things
go ahead, Laura.
Okay, well, I was just going to say, I think one of the things that I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from is that I'm not really running a typical campaign. I'm not doing a lot of stump speeches and fundraisers and things out of the gate. What I've been spending my time doing for the last few weeks, other than my week and a half or so of being laid up with
sick
COVID,
yeah,
has been to get out and meet people where they are, right? Is to get into Days of Action, is to join lobbying groups out in Madison, is to do things like hold a town hall or do a sit-in at Derek Van Orden's office to draw attention to issues. And I think that, for my part, looking at where these mutual aid groups are, because, in the event that the federal government fails us and it goes back to the state, and if the state sort of falls through because, there's still a question as to whether or not they're going to accept the BadgerCare expansion so that more people can be covered and more of these things can be, taken on by the state. Well, if those things fall through, then it's up to our mutual aid groups. It's up to the nonprofits and those other organizations that are going to have to pick up the slack. And I think that part of my responsibility even now is to start to understand where these groups are and who the interested parties are and say, well, here are the resources that we do have in our communities and how they can be helpful.
There's a lot going on there, right? Part of it is like getting ahead of the curve and thinking about harm reduction and remediation before the impacts of these become fully felt. But I believe we're standing at the precipice of quite a moment for those that generally run as Democrats. And that is, people don't think this will affect them. And as soon as a belly goes empty, Medicaid is gone, you can't get your Medicare, you can never get a hold of anyone, it's the Social Security Administration. Once we start experiencing the results, not the rhetoric, but experiencing results, I think this is an opportunity to say, I care, and I'm going to actually do something to help you and to help your life be better. We've got Laura Benjamin, candidate for the 3rd Congressional District, Dr. Kristen Lierley, host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on WGBW on Saturdays, and my co-host for this segment of Broad Appeal. I love me a woman candidate because we got broad appeal. We're going to come right back. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.